Reformed Church.
We were talking about deliverance last service, and we just made a point of how there are some people that believe that even after they have been born again, after they've received the Spirit of God, they still have a, I was going to say a tendency, but it's just really an incorrect belief to think that they may still need to be delivered, that they need, a lot of that I think is tied to the actions that they have or the thoughts that they have, that a lot of times people will think, if I'm born again, how can I think this way? If I'm born again, how can I act this way, right? If I'm really made a new creation, then how is it that I keep doing this or that I do that or that I say this or that I say that or think this or think that? And in actuality, right, it's our thinking in large part, right, in large part, the day that you're born again really hasn't changed a whole lot. And the way that we think and the reasoning that we have is very worldly still when you're first born again. And therefore, if our thinking is very much the same, our acting is very much the same, our body is very much the same, so everything basically remains very much the same, but as you continue to grow, you realize how drastic a change there has been, right? Because you really have been made a new creation. You just didn't know exactly what that meant. You really have been circumcised of the flesh, not even just of the body, right? But also of the heart, of the mind, right? We also have a circumcised heart. So for a lot of people, that's difficult to understand. Therefore, then they judge themselves by their actions. And of course, then that starts a whole mess of things, right? If you as a born-again believer continue to judge yourself by your actions instead of measuring yourself by who Christ is and what he has and what he's given you, right, that causes all types of philosophical problems, right, theological problems, if we can call it that, things that you read in scripture that then, you know, I believe we talked about this last service, how people read Romans 7 and so identify with doing the very things that they don't want to do and the whole thing, because that's still exactly how they're living. So I want to bring you just real quick in just a few minutes here that we have. If we can go to Deuteronomy chapter 30 real quick. And verse number 5, maybe Deuteronomy 30 and verse number 5, it says, "And the Lord thy God will bring you into the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. And he will do you good and multiply you above your fathers." And verse number 6 says, "And the Lord your God will circumcise your heart, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your seed to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, that you may live," right? So that's an interesting thing, right? Because we, a lot of times we don't think about the fact that even, you know, we've learned that loving God is faith in Jesus, right? Having faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, right, is loving the Lord. And what you see is that the only reason, and I think Christians know this to a certain extent, that the only reason why you can have faith is because the Lord, you possess today the mind of Christ. So you have been given the ability, you have been given the power to be able to hear and to be able to see, where before, without the Spirit of God, you could not hear, you could not see. But now, by the Spirit of God, you're able to hear and you're able to see, right? And that comes, so if you're able to see and you're able to hear, that means that your mind is able to be renewed, that you're able to receive from the Spirit of God and your mind is able to be renewed. But here, he says that your heart has been circumcised, right, to be able to love the Lord your God. To be able, in other words, that our heart has been circumcised to faith. Our heart has been circumcised to that as we hear from the Spirit of God, right, we can understand. We can know by the Spirit of God. And that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, maybe we can go there real quick. Right, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11 says, "For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit that is in him? The spirit of a man that is in him, even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God." He says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is of God." So our heart, was circumcised by the Spirit of the Lord, right? In other words, we received the mind of Christ when we were circumcised. When the Spirit of God came to live on the inside of us, right? That's when our body was circumcised. That's when our mind was circumcised. So the mind and the body obviously making up the flesh. That's how our flesh was circumcised, was when we received the Spirit of God. So when we received the Spirit of God, we were, one of the things obviously that the Lord does inside of us is he gives us the power to be able to know the things of God. So he says we haven't received the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, right? How we have the same glory that Jesus has. And then in verse 13, he says, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, right? So the things, the enlightening of our hearts, none of that would be able to happen if we would not have a circumcised heart. So the cool thing is, and you know what? It doesn't just stop at, with learning the Lord. It doesn't just stop by, when it comes to hearing and hearing the word of God, but this type of rest from our thinking, right, is not just about the knowledge of Christ, but also we've received the rest of our heart. In other words, the ability to be able, I'll say it like this. The same way we've received, right, deadness to our body, we have received deadness to our mind. So the unburdensome way to live, right? In other words, to be able to live without the burden of having to think right, right? Jesus said to the man, I believe it's in Matthew. Let me get that for you real quick, just because for what it's worth to read it. Well, maybe Matthew 5. Let's see. Matthew chapter 5. This was Jesus speaking to the man about his thoughts, right? And I think it is Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 27, it says, you've heard that it was said by them of old time, you shall not commit adultery. But Jesus said, I say to you that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. So people look at that and they hear what Jesus says, and obviously that brings even more condemnation on people, right? When they sense lust in their heart, right? When they look after another person with lust in their heart, that brings even more condemnation on them, right? Because now it's not just even that you physically did it, it's that now you even thought it, right? But the cool thing is that it's one other thing out of every good thing that we can't do. It's just one other thing that he's saying you can't do. In other words, for somebody that feels qualified, he says, you don't get it. It's not even just that you do it. It's just even the thoughts that you have. It's not just that your actions are no good. It's that your thoughts are no good, right? Your thoughts are no good. Your actions are no good. So you can do no good and you can think no good, right? So it's just one other indication of Jesus saying that, you know what? Don't look for goodness in you, right? Because you're never going to achieve goodness. You're never going to achieve righteousness because your thoughts are not good and your actions are not good. So today, as born again believers, right? As believers that have the Spirit of God living on the inside of us, as those today that are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, right? Romans 8 talks about, but you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. If the Spirit of God dwells in you. So we that have the Spirit of God on the inside of us, we don't have to be concerned about fixing our thoughts to not have a lustful thought, or to not think a violent thought towards someone, or to not think about having thoughts about cheating or getting away with this or getting away with that, right? Or thoughts of learning the Lord, or trying to renew our mind ourselves, or trying to be good Christians. And if a bad thought comes, you got to try real quick to like shake it off and think about something else and pick up your Bible real quick and distract yourself, right? None of those things right there, none of that is our job, right? None of that is our job. It's not our job to try to think different thoughts to not think bad thoughts. It's not our job to renew our mind. It's not our job to teach ourselves. It's not our job to learn ourselves. It's not our job to edify ourselves, right? It's not those things, in other words, our thinking, just as much as the actions of our body are not an expectation that God has. God has no expectations of us or judgment towards us for actions that we do or don't do, right? There's obviously, we've learned it many, many times, right? That's one thing. Even little Nathan was something, right? There's one thing that the Lord wants us to do, and the kids have been learning it in the nursery also, that it's to know Jesus, right? One thing is to know Jesus. So it's the listening, right, of which we've been given power towards, right? By the Spirit of God, we're able to see, we're able to learn, we're able to hear, right? So it's to be able to know that we have freedom, that we have rest, that we have a circumcised heart. So if we have a circumcised heart, that means we have been given rest from thinking, just that we have been given, our bodies have been given rest from performance. Look at Philippians chapter 3 real quick. Philippians chapter 3, and we'll kind of wrap up there. Philippians chapter 3 and around verse number 3. It says, For we are the circumcision which worship God or serve God, right? In the Spirit. We serve God in the Spirit. So, those that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit, right? We're mindful of the things of the Spirit. But the cool thing is, right, that's not our job to do, right? That's something that comes with who we are, right? Being mindful of the things of the Spirit of God are things that the Spirit of God does in our hearts, right? So we give him entrance into our heart and our mind, and the Lord is the one that puts the thoughts there. He's the one that teaches, right? He's the teacher. He's the one that brings stuff up into our mind. It's not our job to try to remember what we read this morning so we can continue to rehearse it, right? It's our job to continue to listen, to hear. It's not about memorization. It's about giving entrance to the Spirit of God to be able to teach us, right? So he says, for we are the circumcision which worship God or serve God in the Spirit, and we rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. So our no confidence, is not just a body thing, but it's a mind thing. So just as much as I don't lean on my actions towards righteousness or my actions towards goodness or my actions towards godliness, in the same way I don't lean on my own understanding towards godly thoughts, towards spiritual thinking, towards theological whatever, right? Which is unfortunately what a lot of people still do, right? They try to produce righteous thoughts. They try to produce good thinking because they think that they're the ones that are in charge of their thinking, that they're the ones that are responsible for their thinking, that God is holding me accountable for every single thought that I have. Because even if I have an adulterous thought, if I have a violent thought, if I have a greedy thought, if I have a covetous thought, whatever it is, right? We condemn ourselves, therefore then we try to correct ourselves, right? But I mean, what would be the difference between that and living under the law, right? Not much of anything, right? But we are not under the law, but we are under the grace of God. We are under those that have been possessed by the Spirit of God in body and then also for our mind, right? The Lord desires to come in and have a hand in our heart, right? To teach us, to mold our mind, to give us the right things to think about, the right things to meditate on, the right things to dwell on, right? And we don't have to lean on our understanding, even in things of worldly wisdom, right? Even in things of prioritization, even in things of what's important and what's not, and what should I do and what shouldn't I do, right? In all things, the Spirit of God is there in order for us to be able to experience or manifest, right, that rest of our heart, and be able to have the Spirit of God be the one to teach us, right, how to think and what to think, what's right to think. You, on your best day, without the Spirit of God, you can't think of the right thing to think, right? On your best day, you can't think of the right thing to think about beside the Spirit of God. So for us to think that it's something that we can do, we're overburdening ourselves. So we're learning about not having to, about our actions, and it be, you know, the Lord can do that. Well, moving that mentality or that understanding to the circumcision of our heart, and not just our body, but the circumcision of our heart, and see, wow, Lord, that's how you want me to live, right? Let's if we can real quick in Romans, actually, I think we read it already. But how about we end here? Romans chapter 6, we read this, I think, last service, and we'll stop right there. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4. Therefore, we're buried with him by baptism into death, That just like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, right? And that newness of life is not just about receiving life to our mortal body. It's not just about the right actions. It's not just about virtue or excellence, right, in our actions. But that same exact newness of life that he's talking about here, walking in newness of life is walking in newness of life, right, in how the Spirit of God works through you and your thoughts, right? It's your thoughts and your actions, right? Walking in that life, walking that newness of life in your thoughts and in your actions both, right? Thank God that when he circumcised us, right, he didn't like do one before the other. He didn't find one more important than the other. When the Lord came in and circumcised us, he circumcised us flesh completely, right? Body and mind both, right? Body and mind both.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this unpopular message to the world. If you'd like to support Reformed Church, you can do so at reforminus.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reforminus.com.